If you were to go to the northeast province of Kenya, you would inevitably come across the town of Dadaab. Here's one of the families who lives there at Dadaab. I say one of the families because unfortunately they are not alone. Dadaab is the world's biggest refugee camp. Some 600,000 people are living in that place. Most of them are Somali, having fled from Somalia to Kenya to flee the fighting that has gone on in Somalia for many years. But the harsh reality is that there are camps like this one across various parts of Africa and beyond. The modern day problem of refugees. People forced to flee from their own countries. A modern day problem? Not really. Refugees are as old as the story of people. And of course, they figure highly in our story, the story of God's redeeming work through people. We mentioned earlier when the children were in Joseph's family, the Israelites, who themselves became refugees in Egypt. They were there, of course, because of famine in the land of Canaan. And today's story of Naomi and Elimelech and so on is also essentially a refugee story. One family among no doubt many others who had to leave the promised land because of famine. This is the land, of course, that was described as flowing with milk and honey. Not in the time of Naomi and her family. And so they sought refuge in Moab, one of the neighbouring lands. If I can show you for a minute here, you see the kingdom of Judah. Here, Jerusalem and Bethlehem just to the south of it. So they had to move to the east, round by the Dead Sea, and here into the kingdom of Moab. And there it seems they were welcomed, given refuge. There, of course, is the meaning where the word refugee comes from. Someone who is given refuge. Elimelech and Naomi and their sons found refuge in Moab. You know, in modern-day Britain, and I expect in many countries, xenophobic attitudes are never far below the surface. That is a fear of and an intolerance of foreigners, strangers among us. Often fueled by the right-wing tabloid press. We need to look after our own, is the cry. Especially in difficult economic times. We don't need foreigners coming here. I pray that our country would remain one which is open to people in need, as Moab was open to Elimelech and Naomi in their hour of need. The Christian way will always be the way of hospitality to those whose needs are great. So Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons end up as refugees in Moab and were there for some 10 years. But these years were not kind to Naomi. And as the story unfolds, we hear that she lost both her husband and then both of her sons. Contemplate for a moment her predicament. She is far from home. She is removed from all that is known and dear to her. And now she is utterly bereft. We all go through troubles from time to time. Compare your own with Naomi's. All that she went through in these years. And yet, she was not alone. Her two daughters-in-law stayed with her, doubtless to care for her and to share her burden of loss. Remember, of course, they too had lost their husbands. Here we have, folks, human compassion. Not deserting people in their hour of need. Now this surely should be a mark of Christian community. In other words, a mark of the church. That there is care and compassion always for those who find themselves in troubled times. Not judging, not backing off, not leaving them to it, but being there for folks. Just as these two younger women were there for their mother-in-law when she most needed help and support. If those qualities aren't evident in the church, then we are lost. Let's make sure this is a family such as theirs was, Naomi's, that bound themselves together for strength, one for another. Then again, as the story unfolds, we hear that in time, the famine has lifted in Judah, and so it is time for Naomi to go home. And so she sets out with her daughters-in-law on the road that would take them back to Judah. In other words, on the road home. I love this phrase, on the road that would take them back. It puts me immediately in mind of the New Testament story of the prodigal son. If ever there was someone who needed to go back, then it was the prodigal son. He needed to go back home. Which of course means to go back to be with God. I wonder if there are any among us here this morning, and surely there are, some of you who perhaps are feeling somewhat lost, perhaps far from home, perhaps far from God. It happens. There are times when our relationship with God is warm and we feel like He is our next door neighbour. But there are other times along this journey when we find ourselves off the beaten track, when we feel ourselves to be lost and wondering, where is God? If that is you, or in any way describes your situation, your spiritual place at the moment, then my prayer as minister for you is that here at the beginning of 2013, you would find yourself like Naomi, setting out on the road that would take you back, that would bring you back. And if you can find yourself setting out once more on that road, then the one thing you can be entirely sure about is that your loving Father will be waiting with open arms to welcome you. So Naomi and her two daughters-in-law set out on the road back from Moab to Bethlehem and to Judah. And of course, in all of this, Naomi begins to think about her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. She's thinking of them and that it would be better for them to remain in Moab, among their own people, among their own families. And perhaps there that they would find new husbands and would be able to marry again and get new starts in life. Of course, she was probably right on the face of it. But to begin with, both of these younger women refuse. They say, "We're not going back, we're going to stay with you." But Naomi persists, and so eventually Orpah, one of the girls, she consents, and she, with tears, turns home to Moab. But Ruth would not leave. Such loyalty. Such commitment. Not thinking for a minute what would suit me best, but loyal to her mother-in-law Naomi, to whom she had committed herself. Folks, this story, I think, brings into sharp focus the need that we have in 21st century society for loyal, stable, committed relationships. And I'm expanding that out, not just relationships between daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law, in all relationships. We have made of relationships things of convenience, things that we will go along with as long as they suit us, but which we are ready to lay down when trouble looms. Ruth's commitment and loyalty to Naomi is a mark of a kind of relationship that, as far as I can see, we so badly need. One another, we need to commit ourselves in our relationships. We don't just pick people up and put them down again when we are done. We hang in there through difficult times. We commit to our relationships through the difficult times. And folks, this is the very fabric of our society. When we make our relationships disposable, then just watch how the whole of society, bit by bit, begins to disintegrate. If you take nothing else from this story, remember of it the commitment and the loyalty that Ruth had to Naomi. "I won't leave you. I'll stay with you. I'll put you and our relationship first before my own agenda." It's that kind of commitment that would make such a difference in modern day relationships. And so we learn that the two women continue on their journey from Moab until they arrive back in Bethlehem. Folks, in many ways this is just one story. Nowadays it might be described as a human interest story. about relationships, life and death. It may just be one story, but it is part of the story. The one which began over here with our blue thread this morning, in the beginning. And the story of which we are part, and the story that is going to continue until the consummation of all things, and the fulfillment and the coming of God's kingdom. This story upon which we have reflected this morning is a vital part of it. If you go to the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, you have there the genealogy of Jesus. And here is a part of it. The father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, we heard of her a few weeks back. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was, wait for it, Ruth. This Moabite woman, this foreign woman, who could so easily have turned back as she was asked to do and gone back to her own people, but stayed with Naomi and herself came to live in Bethlehem. And through the charitable help and compassionate instincts of Boaz, was married to him. They had a son who was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. And King David was the ancestor of Jesus. Ruth's part, just one small part in the story. But you take it out, and the chain is broken. The blue thread that we had across this morning is snipped and cut. We need Ruth. We need her in that story. And in the same way, as this story continues, God needs each one of us. Your part may be, on the face of it, a small part, as Ruth's was. But God needs you to play your part nonetheless. Again, I say here at the beginning of the year, isn't it time for you to offer yourself once more to his service, making yourself available to him once more and saying to him, use me, Lord, as you will, for the unfolding of the story. What chapter will he write through your life this year? Let's pray.